Hey, everybody, before we get started, I want to give you guys just a quick little message. First and foremost, we did have some issues with Skype during the show. Normally, we record locally, so that never comes out in the actual recording. But when we have guests, that's just kind of unavoidable for us at this point. So there are some parts that are a little bit rough, but I really think it's worth it to stick right through because I think this is an amazing episode. The second part is that this is a lore episode talking about the lore in the world of Overwatch. We don't always talk about these things. We don't always talk about tournaments. We don't always talk about gameplay. We try to have a healthy balance of both. But the lore of Overwatch is very deep and vast, and we know we didn't get everything. We only had an hour show, but we hope that you really did enjoy it. We hope you really enjoy the podcast. And leading into launch, we would love to hear your feedback on the podcast, what you like, what you don't like. Honestly, if you got bored after 15 minutes, send us an email so we know why, so we can get better. If you're enjoying the show and there's specific things you like or don't like, send us an email. We would love to hear more about your thoughts on the show. But that's all I want to say. I've already taken up my minute. Without further ado, episode number 23, Lorverwatch.
Podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode number 23 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. We've got an incredible show. I am John Horstman, centered out of Denver, Colorado. We've got an incredible crew. As always, we've got Jimmy here. His camera is frozen, so he's going to go ahead and fix that. But Jimmy from Ventura, California. How you doing, man? Welcome back to the show. There you are.
I'm really good. This is a really great episode. I'm so excited to be talking about this, and especially this is our last episode before the game launches. Holy smokes.
It's all been a dream until now, until this next week, and then it's going to be Overwatch will be a real thing that we can play all day, all night with all of our friends, not just the ones who got in beta. It's going to be pretty amazing. All right, we've got a special guest. So we've gotten a lot of requests, a lot of emails, tweets saying we want to know more about the lore in Overwatch. And so we brought on a lore expert to talk with you guys this week. Now, I tried to get a gong because I wanted to call him Sensei Crow and have a little gong and go, but I don't have one. So that's our gong. And we have Crow Tomkiss here from BlizzPro to come say hey with us and talk Overwatch. Crow, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for being on.
Oh man, thanks a lot for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. This is I've story has just been the thing that I've gone crazy for with Blizzard since forever. So having an opportunity to be at the ground floor when Overwatch is going live like this is it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting. I'm having trouble containing myself because of the excitement.
Oh no. Oh no. All right. This is going to be a fun show.
It's begun.
I normally I would ask you guys what you were up this week in Overwatch, up to this week in Overwatch, but you weren't doing anything in Overwatch. So we're just going to jump straight into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
All right. We've got a ton of stuff going on this week in Overwatch, but first, Jimmy, we've got a special guest next week. Do we not?
Yeah, we do. We talked about it a few weeks ago, I believe, about the Agents Rising tournament being put on at the Esports Arena in Santa Ana. It's going to be the first really tournament right out of the gate for Overwatch here. And we're going to see it with a $10,000 prize pool. And we're going to have Jamerson, one of the casters of this event, and we'll be able to talk with him about the event right before it happens, because it's going to start that weekend right after next week's show. So it'll be really cool. Jamerson is someone I have gotten connected to through Heroes of the Storm, and he casts a lot of shooters. So I'm really excited to hear his perspective on Overwatch and its viability as a esport going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Make sure you tune in next week, and we're going to get a really high level view on, you know, what's going on with Overwatch, what it's going to look like in the competitive scene. And I can't think of anyone better than one of the premier casters in the largest Overwatch tournament to date to come and talk to us about it. Next up, we've got actually official game release times. So starting in the US, so just so you guys know, the game release times are going to be just like beta release times. So kind of the day before the beta started, it started hitting like the US. So it's going to be hitting May 23rd at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I got a confirmation from Amazon, like the day that they changed that date, that my collector's edition is going to be coming in on the 23rd. So if you ordered a physical copy through any sort of reputable chain, they should have changed it now to where your Overwatch copy should be coming in a bit earlier.
This is not where I make a crack about GameStop. This is not where I'm not going to do that.
So unfortunately, I made a mistake and I scheduled a dentist appointment for that day at 3 o'clock. So it's going to be like a long one. So I am going to miss the being there right when the servers come on. So unfortunately, I'll miss that. But I'll make sure I'm well enough to play that night.
I'll play enough for the both of us. I promise. I'm going to play a lot. I
appreciate that.
Nice. All right. And then, man, so much stuff going on. I don't know how Blizzard is keeping up with this pace, but there's so every day there's like four announcements. Every time that I pick up my phone and hop into our BlizzPro Slack, they're like, oh, this other thing just got announced, or this new thing, or this new leak. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't keep up with it. But we also,
this thing just happened.
Right. Yeah.
And this thing just happened, and they didn't even make a post about it. So it's like, whoa, well, hey, that was unexpected.
Right. Cool. Well, it's like even 20 minutes before the show, we're getting ready for the show, and the Farrah comic dropped. So I haven't even got to read it yet because I was getting ready for the show. I couldn't spend any extra time. We're already running late tonight. And like, it's just, oh, so much stuff. So we've got a Soldier 76 digital short Hero coming May 22nd, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we've got our fourth digital short, presumably our last one before launch. We've got Farrah and Torbjorn comics coming, presumably both before launch. The Farrah comic just hit. So if you're in chat right now, obviously keep the audio on, but go ahead and read the Farrah comic at comic.playoverwatch.com. And then we've got a May 22nd, the theater event where they're going to show all the digital shorts and hero cinematics and stuff like that. And then they're also going to do a dev panel. And then we've also got this weird thing tomorrow, which nobody knows what it is. But Jimmy, you're closest to one of these locations, so I think you'd be the best to break it down. Of what is going on.
They showed a map on their social media channels, and the one that's close to me, obviously being California, is the one in Hollywood, and it says there's something happening at Hollywood and Highland, which is a pretty busy intersection if you're familiar with that area. And they say at 10 a.m. something's going to be happening there. It could be something really small. It could be like one of those mosaics like they did for Whispers of the Old Gods, where they had the people go out all over the world and paint the paintings there. I know they did that for Heroes of the Storm actually last year when that launched as well. So it could be something as small as that, but I have no idea. I mean, it's right in the prime real estate of Hollywood. It could be anything really.
I think it's got to be something bigger than that, though. There's another one in France, right? Paris. Yeah, and there's Paris. A third one on the
It's in Korea. It's in
Korea.
Busan.
Okay, Korea. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember.
Which coincidentally is Deepa's hometown. Sometime in the 22nd century, a little girl will be born who will be destined to become both a StarCraft goddess and a mech pilot. So yeah,
there you go.
And I believe these are all at the same time. The May Hollywood is May 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific. Paris is May 20th at 7 p.m. CEST, and the one in Busan is May 21st at noon. So I think those are the same time, but I'm not 100% sure. But I would imagine that they are simultaneous.
Here is why I know it has to be bigger than just like a painting on a wall, is I know that Michael Chu, who is one of the principal artists, I think he's like the whole feel and look of Overwatch, I believe, is in Paris.
He's one
Paris.
Of the head story dudes.
Story dudes. Okay, maybe he's story dudes. Yeah. I thought he was nerd dude. but story dude, Michael Chu, is going to be in Paris. He's got a temporary desk up there, and he's quote tweeted the tweet that came out from the Play Overwatch account and says, well, ... I'm in Paris.
Oh, geez.
So it's something. Okay, yeah. So Jimmy's going to call out from work tomorrow so he can get you a payload exclusive.
Yeah.
Man, it's gonna be. Man. I have no idea. I mean, it's just gotta be like a cool launch type event thing, right?
There's something going on because I saw Michelle Morrow tweet to someone about tickets to an Overwatch launch, and I have no idea. I'm guessing it's pretty exclusive, similar to how the Reapers of Soul launch was for Diablo 3, where it's invite only, which is unfortunate because the public launches have been really fun, but it's just been chaotic with the amount of people, so maybe they're downsizing on those a bit, and that's why they did, I think, these theater ones as well, so that the public is able to kind of have a launch event here. Yeah, as soon as we know more, I'm sure that the Twitter sphere will blow up about it.
It'll be about 10 minutes after I finish editing the show, and they'll go ahead and let us know. It'll be great. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks.
I've got about 12 hours to learn Korean so I can figure out what's happening there. That'll be a good time.
I believe in you.
All right. So enough about the news. That's the news. Let's talk about what we're really here about. So we figured there'd be no more perfect time to talk about the lore and the story of Overwatch than the week before launch, because there's no gameplay, no tournaments, no anything that we need to talk about here. We can just dedicate a whole episode to the world of Overwatch and the lore and everything going on. And it's going to be incredible. We honestly are a little nervous about how this conversation is going to turn out, because we're going to just kind of let her rip and see where it takes us. But we do really want to start more than anything and talk about what's going on in the world of Overwatch. When is the world of Overwatch? And then we'll start to kind of go down the funnel until we get to the real specific stuff. So, Crow, this is where you get to have at it. And so go ahead, and before we even get super specific, tell us about like the time of Overwatch. I know it's sometime in the future, but how soon is it? It's like,
I don't know. I don't believe they've actually ever given a very specific year for when it's taking place. But what it looks like from everything they've released so far is that it's definitely something that's probably not 21st century. It's probably 22nd century, sometime in the somewhat near future, but not too close, but not too far, but not too close. It's
well said. Well said.
I know, right? Bear with me. But that's one of the things that I know the team was excited about doing when it came to doing a game that was in the real world, our real world to a great extent, as opposed to Azeroth or the Kaprulu sector or Sanctuary. It's just like, we can do something that's got familiar sets to it. We can do something that's got a sense of familiarity, but we don't want to just do, you know, what you could go out and see down the street. We've got to Blizzify it somehow. And so why don't we figure out, well, you know, you can go see the pyramids at Giza, or you can go see some awesome techno pyramid and sphinxes and weird flying airships and stuff. And that's where you get Temple of Anubis. So
there you go.
I think that it's an idyllic future to some extent. And I think that that's, that that probably seats it probably in about like next 100, 200 years thereabouts.
Okay, so let's say about 100. I thought I read somewhere it was like 60 to 70 years.
That could be it
in
too.
The future. It could be, but I remember it's like, it looks really far into the future, but it's like not mm-hmm. actually that far. So yeah. in the world of Overwatch, we're given some clues as to what's going on. One of the big clues, one of the biggest things that has gone on is the quote unquote perfection of AI, like super sentientism to like where, you know, do robots have souls are kind of the conversations being had. And we've got something that happened a little bit before all of this called the Omnic Crisis. Crow, can you give us kind of a breakdown on the Omnic Crisis and what's kind of going on with that?
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. So just for the uninitiated, Omnic is the term that's being used for the sort of humanoid android, humanoid robot type characters that we've seen introduced in the game world so far. Zenyatta is one of the Omnics. The guy that we saw in the Alive short, Mondatta, he is clearly one of the Omnics as well. And so there's definitely this idea that the Omnics are these artificial people. Who at some point in the past, apparently there was an uprising of some kind where you had this huge conflict take place between Omnics and the rest of humanity. And that set the stage for everything that we see in that original opening cinematic where you've got, you know, giant mechas fighting against Russian troops, you've got airships bombing Rio, you've got, you know, the Eiffel Tower getting blown up, all these other things happening. This is what's being wrought by the Omnic Crisis in one form or another, and that is the stage from which Overwatch springs. That is the situation where Overwatch is created as an organization specifically to fight against the Omnic Crisis and try and bring that conflict to an end.
And so,
some dubious results, apparently.
Right. So this Omnic Crisis happened where these Omniums start spitting out bad robots, basically, and J.J. Abrams finally found a sweet name for his film house. And so we've got this thing going on. So we've got then the discovery of Overwatch. Well, not the discovery, the formation, I guess, of Overwatch right after the Omnic Crisis kind of hits critical levels. Before we jump into that, I think there's something really interesting going on in Russia, right? So we've got, oh my gosh, Zarya, who is obviously kind of revered and loved in Russia as a hero. But Russia has kind of got its own thing going on during the Omnic Crisis, don't they?
I'm not sure if it's specifically... Oh, wait, no, you're right. You're right. The what they had going on during the original Omnic Crisis, and they're kickstarting it again now that the aggression is sort of coming back into play. Russia's response to the Omnic Crisis was to create these giant mecha that they would, you know, giant piloted mecha that they would deploy against the Omnics in order to fight against them. And they were called the Sviatogor, something along those lines.
Well said. That's exactly it. My native tongue,
way better than I could.
My mother tongue says yes.
So the Sviatogor is based off an ancient Russian folk tale about this sort of angry giant, heroic giant. It was a giant hero of some kind. Sure. And I forget exactly how the rest of the fairy tale ends up going, but the bottom line is that he's a giant guy and he helps people. Or he helps maybe just this one particular dude. But that's the basis for these giant mecha and that you see the Russians use. And when you're in the Volskaya map, the giant mecha that you see standing in the background, standing guard, the ones that are being built there in that factory, those are the Sviatogor. And that's what Volskaya Industries is producing in order to combat the Omnic Crisis.
Got it. So Russia's holding their own. The motherland is okay. And, you know, so they're holding their own, but the rest of the world is kind of struggling. So then we have this formation of Overwatch. So tell us a little bit about how Overwatch came to be.
What we get is, and I imagine that this is going to get into more detail. We got a little bit of it in the Soldier 76 origin story trailer that we saw last year when 76 was announced and added to the roster. I believe that the graphic novel that they're supposed to be putting out is going to address this as well, and that's coming out later this year. But what we know so far is that Overwatch was an international organization that they put together, and the big people that we know who were on that team at the time, you had Jack Morrison, who we come to know later as Soldier 76. You have Gabriel Reyes, who later becomes Reaper. You've got Mercy, Torbjorn, McCree, Reinhardt, and Tracer. Missing anyone? No, I think
Genji.
I don't know
if he was the original one or not, but he's...
I don't know if he was on the original team, but we do see him working with Overwatch people at some point.
Right.
But
he's at Winston's graduation.
Oh, was Genji... Oh, yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's right up on there. That's the picture that they show. That's from the Winston short. If you're watching audio, I do have some slides and stuff going on. So it's the graduation picture with all of those people.
Oh, wow.
And then a gal who looks like Pharah, but isn't Pharah. Is that confirmed that that's not Pharah? Just somebody who looks like Pharah?
Well, if we look at it, there's a sniper rifle there and not her traditional.
Okay, fine.
Thing.
She went from sniper to rockets.
She could have. Who knows?
Sometimes. You might get
sometimes them rockets rifle. Are dead on. Dead on.
It's like Halo 2. Sometimes you get the sniper, sometimes you get the rocket launcher. You know, either are.
There you go.
Gotta control the power weapons. Okay,
this
so we've
is
got
one of
this
the things
team.
That we. This is one of the things that we know is that this girl was on this team at this point in time. She has an eye tattoo that's similar to the one that Pharah has, but it's not exactly like it. That she has a different hairstyle. Obviously, the coloration is similar. In one of the pieces of artwork that's been revealed, you see a name patch on her shoulder under the Overwatch symbol that says Amari. And if you look on Pharah's profile on the official site, her real name is listed as Fariha Amari. So between that, between 76 and Mercy both having interactions with Pharah that have to do with her mother, there's a lot of speculation going on right now that this is Pharah's mom, who was a member of the original Overwatch team way back in the day. And Pharah, to a certain extent, is either attempting to follow in her footsteps or make up for some titanic failure that she had. Right now, it's unclear. I was kind of hoping that the Pharah comic that we saw released today would say something about that. Spoiler warning, it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm actually reading up a little bit on the story again on the Overwatch page for Pharah. And yeah, she wanted to join Overwatch, following in her mother's footsteps, obviously. But Overwatch was disbanded before she was able to do that. And that kind of gets a little bit brought up in the sense that the tattoo on her eye is a tribute to her mom here. And there's a lot of speculation in the community about her at this point, to say the least. People have spotted hints of her showing up in potentially the Soldier 76 short coming out. So lots of really cool stuff to speculate about. What do you think, Crow, about this potential for
can we just say the name? She who shall not
Sombra,
be named.
Right?
Sombra. Yeah. Sombra. So there's speculation about this hero maybe being teased / announced / whatever on May 22nd, potentially in the Soldier 76 short. Sombra, who, you know, sounds like a support sniper potentially. What are your thoughts on that one, Crow?
excuse me. There's a lot. I think there's a possibility for it. All of the big cinematics that we've seen so far have had at least two heroes in them. But the first one had Winston and Reaper alive, had Widowmaker and Tracer. The third one, Dragons, obviously had Genji and Hanzo. We have heard today about Hero, the Soldier 76 one, and it's like, should there be somebody else in there with him? Who could it be? And that's one of the exciting things about speculating on this is it's like, it'd be a great opportunity to have someone else show up and interact with Soldier, and having it be a new hero would be a real fresh thing to do. But I don't know. I definitely think that Farrah's mother is being teased in a lot of other media, so she has to be important to the story in some way. She could end up being Sombra, or Sombra could be someone entirely unrelated to that. Yeah. And we're just putting those two things together because they're bits of information that we're seeing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really interesting is I feel like I've brought this up a few times on the show, that Farrah and Mercy have this interaction if they're in that opening room together before match starts, and they mention her mom. And Farrah's just like, I don't want to talk about it. Why are you bringing this up? And I think it's also with Reaper as well. I think he brings her up. But yeah, it's just really fun to speculate on this. And I fully expect a new hero soon after launch, if not sooner.
Too fast. I'm not ready. Hours. I haven't learned all 21 yet.
If they decide to tease a new character 24 hours before the game launches, I'm pretty sure that still counts as you're not going to be able to play this guy or girl until after launch at least. So works for me.
There you go. So I do know, as well as the original Overwatch team we talked about, that there was one other person who was involved early on with Overwatch. Maybe I missed us saying it, but Gerard Lacroix, who... spoiler alert, was Widowmaker's, so Amelie Lacroix's husband. And I'm really good at French, so all of our listeners in France, especially Patrick, I know Patrick listens to this show. I'm so sorry.
I was about to say, Patrick will...
I am so, so sorry. But anyways, back to what I was saying. So we do know, so there's this really cool story arc with Widowmaker and Gerard. And so basically what happens here, right, is I forget how it goes. So actually, let's back up. Let's talk about Talon. Crow, tell us about Talon. I think we need to talk about Talon before we talk about Widowmaker.
Okay. So what we know is that Overwatch is this organization that was put together to try and combat the Omnic Crisis. And they brought the Omnic Crisis to an end, or at least to a stalemate, to the point where the Omnics were no longer actively fighting, and it gets down to this sort of Cold War circumstance. What we have happening later on is we have this we have this group called Talon, which crops up and seems to become sort of this opposite number for Overwatch. And Gerard Lacroix ends up being the guy, the chief on the Overwatch team who's investigating what Talon is all about. And it's this cat and mouse game where they're going back and forth trying to counteract each other. Talon is trying to kill him. He is able to evade all of their attacks and is able to get away. And yeah, Blue brings it up, you know, right in the chat here. In Widowmaker's backstory is when we find out that the way that Talon was finally able to get to Gerard was they kidnapped and brainwashed Gerard's wife, Amelie, and used her to kill Gerard. So he's dead. And then she, with, you know, the bit of programming that she has, goes back to Talon and is like, all right, what next? And Talon is just like, well, let's put you to work. And that's where Widowmaker comes from. And we hear a lot of her support of Talon in some of the interactions she has on some of the maps and with some of the other characters. And then it's Talon that ends up pulling her out at the end of the Alive short after she's basically beaten Tracer at her own game. So to sort of wrap all that up together, Talon is the enemy organization that stands against whatever Overwatch is attempting to do.
It's like the anti-Overwatch at this point, right? So obviously the Omnic Crisis is again a real big threat and the big threat. But Talon is like the organization, kind of the puppet master behind a lot of what's going on here. We also see Talon. I believe the only other place we see Talon, except for in mention, is in the Winston digital short. So we saw it in the Winston digital short. They're coming into Winston's Watchpoint Gibraltar, where Reaper is trying to extract information about Overwatch agents. And we also see in the McCree comic that they, are blasting the train for one reason or another. And so we've seen them in a couple different places, but we still really aren't sure, outside of Widowmaker and Reaper, are we aware of any other heroes who may be involved with Talon?
I don't think we've seen or heard anyone yet being directly associated with them. So I don't think so, but that certainly seems to be, like, if Doomfist ever becomes a character, and he's certainly one of the guys that seems to be very, very heavily teased to be someone who will eventually be a playable character in the game.
Cool.
I wonder if Doomfist ends up having something to do with Talon, which would help explain why Widowmaker was trying to get his gauntlet in the original cinematic and why she's continuing to go after it whenever you're playing her on Attack in Numbani, I think. Yes. I'm not leaving without that gauntlet.
That was really good. I couldn't tell. Did you hit a soundboard there? Was that a sounder right from the game?
Nice.
Okay, so then obviously we had the formation of Overwatch. They stymie the Omnic Crisis to a point, and then things start to go sour a little bit with the world and their perception of Overwatch. And it kind of starts with Jack Morrison and Reyes. I always forget his first name. Is it Gabriel?
Gabriel, yeah.
Ha, lucky guess. And Gabriel Reyes. What's going on there with those two as far as like in Overwatch?
What we've been told so far is that Reyes and Morrison ended up having some conflicts with each other over who was really the boss of Overwatch. Like, maybe Reyes was the head of the organization, but Morrison was the superior field commander or something along those lines. So there's tension between the two of them in terms of how they work together. You hear about Reyes going on to found Blackwatch, sort of the black ops organization within Overwatch that did, that maybe did some shadier stuff that the rest of Overwatch may not have been privy to or would not otherwise have approved of. So you've got, so Reyes is running that.
Oh, sorry. I lost you a little bit, Crow.
Reyes was in running Blackwatch. What we're led to believe is that Reyes, may have plotted the downfall of Overwatch from the inside, and Morrison ends up getting caught up in it and finds out what's happening, and that is what leads to the destruction of the Swiss headquarters for Overwatch, where both Reyes and Morrison are believed to be dead, and then both of them end up coming out of that later on. Obviously, one of them is Soldier 76, and one of them is Reaper.
Got it.
We're pretty sure which one's which.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Would that not be a twist?
That would be a twist for sure.
That'd be hilarious.
Okay, so while Overwatch is basically, with the Swiss headquarters, and it sure turns out either through media or other things going on, Overwatch starts to get a bad name. And so people start to be really upset with what Overwatch are doing. You can see in the original cinematic, where they're talking about the different, you can see people like rioting and like down with Overwatch and something about, you know, stop watching us or something like that, I think is on one of the signs. And so Overwatch just kind of falls apart. There ends up being law put in place that dismantles Overwatch. And then that's what leads us to present day, the first Winston cinematic, where we talk, where it's recall, where Winston's faced with the choice to recall the agents of Overwatch. So the people we've talked about, as well as some other faces in the cinematic, and people have always kind of, you know, gone through and looked at who else we might see later in the future. And so Winston hits the recall button, and now we're in present day. Overwatch is being recalled. Whew. Did we hit kind of the big themes here? I feel like we did.
Yeah, that's the major stuff that sort of brings us to the present day on Overwatch. Winston's putting the band back together so that they can go back to fixing the problems that are happening right now, which includes like this second Omnic crisis or whatever it is that's happening in Russia. And that's the thing. Like, you even hear it in the Winston short where Athena, the AI, is saying, every time we hear news about this, you get grumpy and try to put the band back together. And then when Reaper tries to steal all of the Overwatch agents' locations, she's like, okay, fine. You know what? Yeah, let's go ahead and put the band back together. Because otherwise Reaper's going to try and kill all of them on his own. It's just, that's not a good idea.
Cool. All right. So I'm loving this. So we've kind of talked about, hopefully at this point, we've filled in kind of the gaps in the story hole as far as what's going on around the world. But we've got some really cool person-on-person or group of people kind of sub-stories, I guess I would say, are kind of going on. There's a lot of crisscross. I could imagine, you know, those like investigator movies where they've got the wall full of like the yarn stream. There's like a ton of like, this is drawn to this and this is over here. And like, these two are correlated. There's some key stories going on, and there's some really important stories to understanding, you know, why some of these characters are the way that they are. And I think one of the first
Dated that guy, and that guy dated that guy.
Right.
And nobody dated this guy because this guy's crazy.
It's the circle of dating.
Oh, man.
And nobody dates Torbjorn because
at least it's not as bad as the Marvel relationship chart.
Oh, yeah, God.
That's true. So one of the first key relationships, although one of the least important probably at this point, is that of Tracer and Winston. So let's jump into this one a little bit. So Tracer and Winston, why is this a story or even a thing in Overwatch?
The main thing that we know, you know, aside from some of what we've seen where we see a lot of Winston and Tracer working together on like the original Team Overwatch or like one of the old school Overwatch teams, we also know that Winston created the device that allows Tracer to skip through time.
Chronal accelerator.
Yes, I got it. Yes, there's the technical term. Good job.
I got it.
He's responsible for building that and allowing her to be able to control her jumping through back and forth through time, which has also sort of brought up an interesting question. When we look at the second Winston cinematic, the one where he was showing all the flashbacks to the old team, it's like we keep on seeing Tracer there. And she's like, yeah, Tracer. Yeah, she looks like Tracer. Everything looks cool. But it's like, but this is supposed to be like a whole bunch of years ago, like 10 or 15 years. Tracer don't look like she's aged a day. So does this time thing sort of let her be sort of...
She refuses to quit.
Is she in a...
She's... So one of the origin skin is Slipstream Tracer, which
right,
is...
Right, the Slipstream Project.
Yeah, because the Slipstream Project is what basically made her molecules out of sync with reality. And basically she just like disappears, comes back time after time again. And she can't control it. And so Winston creates the chronal accelerator to keep her anchored in the present and gives her control over her own time. So she can kind of pop in and out. And that's what made her such an effective agent, is that she can kind of pop in and out wherever she wants or needs to. And also what led to the demise of Mundata in the Alive trailer, right? Because Widowmaker, if you haven't seen the Alive trailer, maybe my second favorite out of three. You know, so at the end, Widowmaker goes to, we think, snipe Tracer right in her chronal accelerator. And then she, you know, slips out of the way and bam, right in Mundata's dome. Got him. Brilliant. Can't win. So Tracer and Winston. So Winston's the one who designed this, and presumably they're really close, and Tracer was really close with Winston when he first joined Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I guess with Winston's story, basically the guerrillas revolt on the Moon Colony, right? And they end up taking over, we think. So
there's something about they're establishing a moon base, and they take a whole bunch of genetically enhanced gorillas with them to act as labor, I think. They take a bunch of these modified gorillas up there in order to help out. There's a big revolt, and so there's not as many of them, like, you know, working.
It's like,
Winston ends up being
head and shoulders above, and he ends up being brought in, but they brought the gorillas because they were working for space exploration.
Right.
And they were using it to kind of experiment rather than experiment on humans, if this is a thing that can do. Supposedly there's a moon colony, which I wonder if we'll get a moon. We've got to get a moon map at some point then, right?
Got to get a moon map.
But then basically, I guess, Winston takes on we don't know what his name was originally, but
he was totally Harry Winston, who was apparently a jeweler. Like, there's actually like a jewelry firm here in the real world called Harry Winston. A buddy of mine pointed it out to me when she was like, wait, this guy's name is Harold Winston, Harry Winston, really, Blizzard, really? You did that?
Oh,
that's amazing.
I hope not.
But yeah.
I hope not.
But that is the name of the original scientist that we see in the flashbacks during the recall trailer, who, you know, has the glasses, and then later, you know, Winston keeps on messing around with the glasses. And that's why the glasses have such resonance for Winston, because they belong to this guy who was like a father figure to him.
That's so, also why he takes on his name, right?
Yes, precisely.
So, and then he makes a makeshift rocket, comes back, and yeah, Winston and Tracer. All right, we need to talk. So if you noticed at the front of the show, we avoided talking about the new Dragons short, because that's what we're going to talk about right now. Holy crap.
I almost said something.
Holy crap.
Oh my goodness.
Jimmy, we'll let you give you a chance. Tell us about what's going on with Genji and Hanzo in the Dragons story.
Oh my gosh. This is like, if you have not seen this, seriously, mute the stream. I don't care. Go watch it right now. It is so good. But this is the third digital short that Blizzard has put out, and it talks about the history of Genji and Hanzo. And really, it just comes, they explain the story kind of an overarching voiceover, and then they really show a showdown between Genji going back to his Hanzo, sorry, going back to his kind of homeland there, even though he's been kind of shunned, Hanamura. Yeah, correct. And so going to these locations we know about in the game, we've played through these, so they're very familiar to us. So he goes back to as a tribute to his brother, because that's the day that he killed him. And then Genji shows up. He doesn't know it's Genji yet, but he just dismisses him as, another assassin is coming to get me. Poof, I'm just going to kill you too. And then they just duel it out. And then Genji reveals himself as Genji, and Hanzo just like just is so shocked, and the moment is just really amazing. It is so amazing, and the two dragons of their ultimates fighting against each other is one of the coolest things I think Blizzard has done in their cinematics. It is so good. I'll let you guys finish talking about it, because I know John was super, super hype about this.
So, all right. So I went on a meme frenzy on Twitter, because first of all, I know some people are really, so I have to ask you guys, Team Genji or Team Hanzo? Jimmy, Team Genji or Team Hanzo?
I'm Genji.
Crow? Genji.
Yeah, don't make me choose. Don't make me choose.
On the spot right now. 3, 2, 1, go.
Team Hanzo.
No! No! Hanzo is such a little pansy. I cannot handle it. He's literally the Sasuke of Naruto in Overwatch. I even made a meme about it. I put a crying picture of Sasuke, drew on a Hanzo beard, and a little quiver and bow and arrow, and it's exactly the same thing. Hanzo is such a little whiny baby. Genji's the best. I'm going to get so much hate, by the way. But Team Genji.
He's
also
Mitsurugi. He's Mitsurugi from Soul Calibur, except with a bow.
I never get to play the Soul Calibur games, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh man, but Mitsurugi is my bro. Like, right. You go back to some of my friends back in the day, and just me rocking face with Mitsurugi and Soul Cal 2 is always the best. The best.
So, I hate it. So, we now know that Hanamura is, we know the Shimada is, it's like a mob crime empire. We know that Hanzo was basically bred to take over the Shimada clan, and Genji was like this playboy dude, just kind of doing whatever he wants, life is great. And Hanzo and Genji dad dies, and Hanzo is kind of brought up to lead the family, but the elders of the clan are worried about Genji, so you got to take care of Genji, get him in line or get rid of him. You couldn't put Genji in line, so they fight, and presumably Hanzo thinks he kills his brother and basically kills himself from the inside at this point. Super lonely, super, my life is crap. Very Sasuke like, in case you can't find the reference again.
And so much Linkin Park, excessive Genji, amounts of Linkin Park.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait for the AMVs with Linkin Park and Hanzo.
Right. Yes. So Genji's not dead, and apparently somehow Overwatch. I don't know how Overwatch found Genji and decided, hey, little guy with little less than a face and total dead, you can do good for us. But Genji was, we do know that he's very talented, just as talented as Hanzo, but just different mindset. And so they basically say, we'll rebuild you, keep you alive, but you have to help us. He does. And this is where Zenyatta enters the fold. Zenyatta actually helps Genji find peace with what happened and ultimately led him to be able to forgive Hanzo. So good. I don't know if I'm missing anything else. Am I missing something, Crow?
Specific to the whole Genji, Hanzo, Zenyatta robotic love triangle thing.
No. That's actually the late night podcast.
Yeah, that happens that's after this. Somewhere on Tumblr. Oh, that's where that discussion is happening.
That is not there.
I think with the.
Oh yeah, it was. Shadow brought it up. It was Mercy. Rebuilt Genji. That's another one of those. Love quadrangles, also known as squares, and
where?
that was it. So that was another one of the things. Okay, so we've hit on some of the big ones that we know a lot about, some of the big story arcs that we've talked about, but there are a few things that we want to talk about, even though we don't have a lot of information, but these are terms that people who are interested in the lore in the game should know. First, We talked a little bit about it, but I want to make sure. Volskaya Industries, it's a map. That's also the corporation that makes those huge mecha dudes that are able to stave off the Omnix like one by one, and what's allowed Russia to be completely independent and not, honestly, not even need Overwatch. The second one is the Vishkar Corporation. And we didn't know a lot about this until the recent Symmetra comic. So tell us, Crow, if you could, what do we know about the Vishkar Corporation / Symmetra, or what's going on in, where is that even happening? Is that Brazil that's happening?
Yeah. That's happening in Brazil. And that's one of the things that we know about Symmetra, is that she is a daughter of the family that created the Vishkar Corporation to start with. I mean, that they are a India-based technology construction conglomerate of some kind, a huge mega corporation, a huge multinational mega corporation that's all about a lot of technological advancements and hard light constructs and a lot of real sort of cutting edge technology, even for a game that's set in the future to start off with. They are at the far end of what that technology is capable of. So what you see in the Symmetra comic that we saw last week is Symmetra acting not only as a representative of that company, but then later on having a sort of a hidden identity as an industrial espionage agent for that company to shut down the opposition, like the other company that had, the more local Brazilian company that had an interest in doing a rebuild project in Rio. Symmetra gets sent in to be like, no, we're going to dismantle whatever you're trying to do, and we'll go in and get the contract instead. And that's which is something about Symmetra that I've always sort of had a feeling about. The way that she sounds, the way that you're interacting with her in games, she's very, she doesn't really sound like a hero. She sounds like someone who's like order will be restored. The true enemy of humanity is chaos. So she's definitely someone who seems to be questioning or asking the question of what is really the conflict that we're trying to fight in this world. Is it that the Omnix are crazy, or is it that the Omnix introduce chaos? Or is it that humanity introduces chaos and that the Omnix could really introduce their own kind of order? There's a lot of depth to what they're doing with Symmetra, and they barely scratched the surface of it in that comic. So that's something I'm really excited about. I think it's going to be amazing. Right.
All right. Two more things to talk about. One we know a little bit about, one we know almost nothing about. Lumerico. So, what do we know about Lumerico, Crow? Lumerico.
No, not Lumerico.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Awful. Lumerico is a power conglomerate in Latin America that is all about building nuclear power plants and sustainable power plants in order to try and improve the power situation within Latin America, Central America, South America, everywhere there. And apparently they might be up to something shady.
Weird. Another corporation up to something shady in the world of Overwatch.
What's awful is that that's actually a pun, right? Because just to briefly sort of touch back base with the whole Sombra speculation that we had earlier, we get more clues about Sombra in Dorado as a level, because Lumerico's power plant that we're delivering the payload to has got a bunch of computer screens that are talking about the Sombra protocol. And Sombra is Spanish for shadow. So you've got a power company that's got a shadow protocol, or a protocol that's named after this person who is named Shadow. What's going on?
Amazing stuff. There's so that much good question. Stuff.
And maybe she's a support sniper? What even is a support sniper? I am going to shoot you full of health.
I'm going to snipe you with heals. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be cool. One of the first shooters to actually have you shoot other people. with bullets of life. I like it. Okay, so we got Lumerico here. And then last but not least, we had a very small little blurb, literally like a paragraph about Los Muertos also happening in Dorado. So we saw a little blog post talking about some stuff going on in Dorado, presumably leading up to the Soldier 76 cinematic. And it's basically all we know is that they're a kind of a grassroots kind of gang. They were kind of left behind by their government and they're kind of a rebellious type of group, but we really don't know much of who's with them, what they stand for. Maybe Sombra is a representative of Los Muertos. Maybe she, I think if we decided it's a she, do we think it's a she?
I think
she?
We're fairly certain it's a she. I think so. Yeah.
Presuming it's a she, could be a he though. And presuming it's a she, maybe she's one of those people who, all right, I'm formulating. This is coming off the head right now. Top of the head. Here it comes. So she was part of the group that formed Los Muertos. She felt like she was abandoned by her government and is now there to attempt to restore order and take back the country from evil, nasty corporations like Lumerico. There it is. That's going to be my thesis. That's going to be my guess. And then we'll know next week as far as if I was right or not.
Is there just very briefly off the cuff, there's something weird about this kind of meta narrative that we get where you have these evil corporations doing evil things or overwhelming or overpowering things. You've got Volskaya building giant robots to beat up the Omnix. You've got Vishkar doing industrial espionage to get contracts and just doing things that don't actually that are supposed to help people but don't necessarily help people. And you've got Lumerico that's doing some shady stuff. It's like big corporations are bad. And it's weird that Blizzard Entertainment are the ones who are putting this in the game and communicating this, because it's kind of like, do you guys have a problem with corporations? Because you're kind of a corporation.
It's true. Yeah.
I'm not certain how we're supposed to feel now. I'm so confused.
Nice.
I love you guys. Please don't shut down my battle nuts.
Oh, there it is. And Crow can't buy Full Overwatch circle. Anymore.
Nope.
Oh my god.
He won't be able to play. He'll be forever stuck playing Face Hunter and Hearthstone as his eternal punishment. Okay, so before we go, because we got to get out of here, we're hitting that hour mark. Before we go, a couple things. Currently, right now in the world, we are presumably undergoing the second Omnic crisis. All we know is that one of the Omniums in Russia was activated and started making bad robots again. So J.J. Abrams is back in business. That's about what we know. So everything that we've kind of brought to you in this podcast has been a compendium of Reddit threads and stuff on overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can learn more there. Obviously, playoverwatch.com, the official website, a lot of those blog posts and shorts and stuff are all centralized there.
And then I just want to butt in real quick. There's a lot of really good reading you can do on the Play Overwatch site on each of the heroes. There's a little bit of backstory. And that's where we got a lot of our stuff as well. And just searching some of the names, there's a lot of wikis put together as well. Continue.
Yeah, that was it. And then also Anne Stickney has done a lot of great work at Blizzard Watch. So that is also blizzardwatch.com/overwatch/lore/story. It is also a great place where they've centralized a lot of that and drawn some conclusions that even other people haven't. So
basically what Anne Stickney does, like on everything,
she
does not stop. I think she types in her sleep is what she has to do in order to produce this amount of content. It is one of the most, she's my hero. Let me just put that out there. I think Anne's great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Definite hero of mine. So with that being said, hopefully this is a good kind of medium level dive into the lore of Overwatch. We know we didn't touch on everything. It's an hour long show, but hopefully you guys are more excited to read about the lore when you're playing the game. Hopefully you're like, feel like you're going, I know what's going on. I listen to this podcast and you know, it helped me. Hopefully it helped you. If you guys have other questions about the lore in Overwatch or other things you want to add, send us an email to thepayload@blizzpro.com and we would be happy, right? It's the payload. Yep, it is. I always forget if it's that it or is. The other one. Thepayload@blizzpro.com. Send us your emails there. And I think we need to get out of here. This is fun. This is really cool. Minus the Skype stuff. Sorry again, guys, about the Skype stuff. Skype is a really good program that allows us to do a lot of really good things. But holy crap, get your stuff together, Microsoft. Love you. Just need you to not cut out and buzz and bzz. Anyways, thank you guys so much for hanging out. We had a great time in chat. It's really cool when there's no one else playing Overwatch and we're like one of the top two or three streams on Overwatch because nobody else is playing Overwatch. Or it's just like old gameplay streams and stuff like that. So if you want to find more, go to overwatch.blizzbro.com. Crow writes a lot of stuff there, as well as our very own Blue Orion. And I actually am hoping to get my hopefully start to write, too. I'm really excited here about comes the Overwatch new
challenger.
Stuff. And no, I'm excited. And Stickney, I'm coming for you. Just kidding. I'm not doing it.
Good
but anyways,
luck.
Yeah, right. If you do like the show, we could really she's a juggernaut. If you do like the show, we could really use your 5-star reviews. After we kind of get out of that review phase, we won't ask for them anymore. But they really do help in placements on iTunes and discovery through search engines and stuff like that. So if you like the show, head over to iTunes or Stitcher. If you're not on Apple products or just despise iTunes like I do sometimes, go ahead and we'd love to read your 5-star reviews on the air. And as always, if you have questions, comments, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Let's do some shout outs for the week. Talk about what we're up to. Jimmy, you know what? Jimmy, sit tight. Crow, you first, please. Our guests first. Tell us what you're up to this next week, where we can find you, pimp all your stuff, all the things.
You are mostly going to find me tweeting at Unlimited Black on the Twitters about everything game related. I am going to be at the Overwatch cinematic event that's being held here in town on Sunday. So I know that that's going to be a big event with a bunch of other wacky local gamers that I know, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see what comes out of that, and mainly just getting hype ready for the launch next week. It's just nice. It's going to be amazing.
Goodbye sleep. Jimmy, what about you, man? Give us your shout outs.
Pretty similar to Crow there. I'm going to be going to the Overwatch event at the movie theater nearby my house in Oxnard, California. And that'll be a lot of fun, and I'm super excited for that. And I'm sure I'll be talking a lot about it on Twitter at DJ Tyrant. I know this weekend is going to be crazy for all this Overwatch stuff, starting with tomorrow, which whatever happens tomorrow at 10 a.m. And also, I just want to shout out Blizzard for having me on Brawl with the Blues, which is a Heroes of the Storm show that Blizzard does, and I got to be a part of that yesterday, and it was really fun. And I really hope they do something similar for Overwatch, not necessarily so I can be on it, just so that the community at large can be exposed to a larger audience. And so that was something really cool. And I am excited for Overwatch. It's almost here.
That's amazing.
Soon.
As for me, well, we got started a little bit late. I usually stream Sunday, Monday, and Thursday nights. At around 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, sometimes a bit early, but usually go till about 10 Pacific Standard Time. So I'm usually there at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. I think it's a pretty fun time. Jimmy and Crow are there from time to time. And yeah, I won't get to be at the cinematic event because we have Well Met that night. But JR bought tickets and just like, oh, well, I don't want to lose my money for that. So I'm going to go. Okay, guys. So JR is going to be gone for this.
Great idea. I'll show up and fill in for. Oh, wait, no, I can't. Sorry, I'm busy that night.
Oh, you're the worst. I hate you. Have I told you that I hate you? Just saying.
Yes.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that was 5 minutes ago. Brutal. This way. Have I told you that I hate you? But yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and get out of here. You can find more Overwatch stuff at overwatch.blitzbro.com, as long as you don't find or lose your place on the page when you're reading your closing paragraph. Our music is awesome. Check out who made it. Jake Buttonow over at jakebuttonow.ca. And our logo, done by scythedesigns.com. And I think our video looks pretty good, too. You can go to my website that I don't have for that, because I did that. It was me.
What are you doing, Sean? How you doing?
I know. You know, follow us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. We're on there tweeting all the cool, amazing Overwatch stuff all throughout the week. It's a lot of fun there as well. And of course, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzbro.com. We love your iTunes reviews. We'll do almost anything except beg for them. So just saying iTunes.
I'm just a guest, so I'll beg. Please give us reviews on iTunes.
Right.
Please.
Let me beg then. This week especially, with Overwatch coming out, people are going to be looking for Overwatch content, and it would help us a ton if you're able to help us with a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
That guy said.
We would love you. Other way, you got to do the other way. That guy said. Awesome. And last but not least, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and the new Google Podcast. This has been episode number 23, the Loreverwatch episode. And we will see you next week with a live game. We'll all be playing it. We'll all be level 50 already to tell you how good we are about at the game. And we'll see you guys next week. All right, guys. Thanks again. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.